to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Jan Fry. Jan is the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Acquisition and Logistics at the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. Jan, welcome to the show. Great to have you on.
Thank you very much, Roger. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for inviting me.
I'm looking forward to our conversation. I've talked a lot about something I know that's near and dear to everybody's folks, you know, the Department of Veterans Affairs and, you know, the support that you all provide for our veterans. Can you start by just describing a little bit? I think, you know, sometimes folks don't, when they think of Department of Veterans Affairs, they don't really, you know, that's a department. But can you talk a little bit about the operation overall?
Oh, absolutely. And thanks for asking. First of all, I will tell you that the Department of Veterans Affairs is a great place to work. For anybody out there in your listening world that's looking for a mission-oriented place to work, this is it. We've got a mission that anybody can relate to. We're taking care of America's veterans, nearly 23 million clients who are so richly deserving of the services that we provide for them. Personally, as a veteran, I'm privileged to serve with those whom I used to serve. My role as the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Acquisition and Logistics is to be a steward of the acquisition resources. In other words, if we waste a dollar, it's a dollar that we can't spend on those veterans of America who so richly deserve our service. We're blessed with a great VA leadership team as well. Eric Shinseki is our secretary. He's an
impressive guy, right?
He's a former Army four-star general. He's my chief of staff as I concluded my career in the Army. And our deputy secretary is Scott Gould. Both of these leaders are people-centric, results-oriented, and forward-looking, and they are doing a great job of leading the VA along these three major veins. A little bit about our organization, VA statistics. We've got over 305,000 employees. We're one of the largest departments in federal government. We run the largest integrated health care program in the nation. We've got 152 major hospitals across the United States. We've got the largest national cemetery system in the country. We have 131 national shrines where we take care of those who are laid to rest, veterans who have served our nation. We've got the country's second largest educational assistance program. As you know it, it's the GI Bill.
Yeah.
Seventh largest insurance enterprise in the country. That's the Veterans Benefit Life Insurance. And of interest to many of the listeners out there, our acquisition spend in 2010 was $16 billion.
Wow.
So we spend a lot of money. That puts us in the top five behind DOD for acquisition spend.
Yes. Well, that's, getting to, our topic at hand today. And that's, I mean, I didn't know a lot of those things about the VA in terms of number of employees and the depth and breadth of the assistance that is provided veterans. Can you talk a little bit about, how your particular organization is structured and the support that you provide and just sort of the challenges you have there?
Certainly. Organizationally, the Office of Acquisition and Logistics falls under the Office of Acquisition, Logistics, and Construction. My boss is the Chief Acquisition Officer, Mr. Glenn Hagstrom. He's also the Executive Director of the Office of Acquisition, Logistics, and Construction. Glenn is the chief acquisition officer. I'm the senior procurement executive. VA operates under what we call an integrated acquisition structure. We have six heads of contracting activities. We used to have 31, so we've made a definite reduction in the numbers of HCAs across the VA.
Wow, that's quite a, I mean, I believe that's an accomplishment in and of itself. I mean, 31 to 6, I think that probably, right, streamlines the process and has improved overall performance.
A very significant reduction that was needed because command and control of 31 HCAs was deemed to be nearly impossible. Each of the administrations, the Veterans Health Administration, the National Cemetery Administration, and Veterans Benefits Administration has acquisition authority. So they each have an HCA, and there are three additional HCAs as well, and all those fall under my boss, the Chief Acquisition Officer. And two of those three fall under me. Our intent is that the Chief Acquisition Officer has functional authority over VA's acquisition mission without direct command and control of the entire acquisition workforce. In other words, centralized control and decentralized execution. But there's no doubt in anybody's mind that the Secretary holds the Chief Acquisition Officer and the Senior Procurement Executive responsible for the success of VA's acquisition mission. The Chief Acquisition Officer directly controls a significant number of contracting personnel, but the majority are under the control of VHA. And interestingly enough, and the listeners will be interested in this, 70 cents out of every dollar is spent out in Veterans Health Administration.
Wow.
So of that $16 billion, 70 cents
wow.
out of every dollar is spent out there in the field where the rubber meets the road. My office, the Office of Acquisition Logistics, is authorized nearly 1,250 full-time equivalent personnel. I manage a headquarters element here in Washington, primarily made up of policy personnel, but the real work gets done in the field. I also manage the Supply Fund, which is a $15 billion revolving fund supporting our VA supply system. Field elements under my supervision are the National Acquisition Center in Chicago, where we manage the nine federal supply schedules delegated to us by General Services Administration. The Denver Acquisition and Logistics Center is subordinate to the NAC Executive Director. The NAC's a national resource, and although we award federal supply schedules primarily for the VA, and those schedules include pharmaceuticals, prosthetics, medical surgical products, and medical services, and VA is the largest user of these schedules. Other government agencies, such as Department of Defense, Indian Health, and Health and Human Services, buy products and services using these federal supply schedules. And approximately 40% of our revenue is produced in sales to other government agencies.
Now, it says, you know, does the pharmaceuticals and the hospital supplies that also tie into it? As I recall, into TRICARE as well in terms of the support for DOD, in terms of, you know, supplying their health care system?
Yes,
as well?
DOD buys pharmaceuticals from us. They get the same benefit that we call the Big Four receive.
Right.
And a special legislation from Congress gives us a very good price if required under law for pharmaceuticals. We've also recently stood up a technology acquisition center in Eatontown, New Jersey. We affectionately call it the TAC, where we strategically source all VA IT products and services. The TAC is supported by a contracting element in Austin, Texas, consisting of about 50 full-time equivalents. We're very, very proud of the accomplishments that we've made at our technology acquisition in the short time that it's been in existence. As short as a period as about 2.5 years ago, we simply couldn't get contracts in place. We had to arrive at a solution where we could concentrate our resources. We discovered that the Army was bracking one of their organizations, one of their major commands, the U.S. Communications and Electronics Command, up in Eatontown. So we made the decision to make a play for their acquisition workforce. And we've hired the best and the brightest out of CECOM's acquisition center up there. And we've got a world-class IT strategic sourcing center that we put
so
in place.
How does that work? Does that mean like the central office operations or regional operations will send their requirements to this strategic to the TAC and they execute on their behalf? Is that the way it works? Is there a distributed acquisition, or is that where your IT goes through?
No, essentially, as you know, we have a centralized IT model in the VA. Our Assistant Secretary for Information Technology has full budget control. He has about 7,000 employees. And so that makes it much easier for them to funnel all of their requirements into this strategic sourcing center. So essentially, they have one belly button to push to get their acquisition requirements in place.
And it sounds like that's a lesson, from your experience and putting this in place, was that that by creating or leveraging, the resources in terms of the acquisition support resources, you have more effective outcomes for your customers, who are those IT folks, right, who are doing the work. Is that what you've
learned?
That's
absolutely the case. I'll give you an example. In one case, we learned that we had 1,000 contracts in place for the exact
1,000
for exactly the same piece of software. The reason we discovered we had 1,000 in place is we had an unauthorized commitment, which resulted in a $5.2 million dollar ratification.
Well, Jan, just I don't have any authorization to go beyond my commercial break time. So why don't you hold that thought, and we'll take a break right now. But right now, but today we're talking to Jan Fry from the Department of Veteran Affairs, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Acquisition and Logistics. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Today's Homeland Security threats can occur anytime in any place. That's why Northrop Grumman's Homeland Security Solutions give you the capabilities you need to keep ahead of emerging threats. In partnership with our customers, we're safeguarding our nation's infrastructure, borders, and citizens, enabling information sharing, and providing secure communications, situational awareness, and cybersecurity. To learn more about our proven scalable Homeland Security Solutions, visit northropgrumman.com/HLS. Northrop Grumman. Having the right solutions to meet evolving threats is critical to our nation's security. That's why Northrop Grumman's Homeland Security Solutions are designed to be flexible, scalable, and adaptable. In partnership with our customers, we're safeguarding our nation's infrastructure, borders, and citizens, enabling information sharing, and providing secure communications, situational awareness, and cybersecurity. To learn more about our proven Homeland Security Solutions, visit northropgrumman.com/HLS. Northrop Grumman.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
Medicare is about to deploy some of the same technology tools credit card companies use to spot fraud. A new system going into effect on the 1st of July is designed to automatically flag Medicare claims that might be fraudulent by scanning through information about the beneficiary, the provider, the type of service, and other patterns. Staff will then be able to investigate claims the system flags as high risk. By some estimates, healthcare fraud costs the government up to $60 billion a year.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology, information technology, and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
This July 4th, you'll be watching fireworks amid sparkling arrays of red, white, and... well, did you ever notice the blues just aren't as good? Bursts of blue fireworks just don't have the same brightness or intensity of other colors, says Washington College chemistry professor John Conkling.
In order to get a bright color up in the sky, you need high temperature. And the chemicals that emit blue light are not stable at high temperatures.
Chemists have been trying to engineer a solution for years, but Conkling says so far, no luck.
Countries do have red, white, and green as their national colors. They're very fortunate. We chose red, white, and blue, so it's harder here in the U.S. to get our national colors up there in the sky on the 4th of July.
To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Government personnel must continue to achieve mission-critical objectives no matter their work environment. Video conferencing technologies provide a highly effective collaboration solution for federal employees affected by budget cuts, BRAC initiatives, and telework mandates, if they are secure based on open standards, and deployable in limited bandwidth environments. Polycom is the first video provider to have an ultimate HD portfolio that is JITC certified, offering real-time face-to-face communication without compromising secure networks or consuming excessive bandwidth. Polycom enables government customers to collaborate over voice and video anywhere, anytime, securely both inside and outside the firewall, offering high-definition video calls at half the bandwidth of other companies. To learn more, visit polycom.com/federal.
The Telework Center arms you with all the information you need to know about teleworking in the federal government. Go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword polycom.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. ACT IAC is looking for a few good members. Do you have what it takes? Are you a techie or a govie? Do you want to make a positive impact? Can you bring fresh ideas to the table? Join ACT IAC today and help solve government's toughest IT challenges while advancing your career and making great new friends and contacts. To become a member, visit actgov.org. That's actgov.org. Or call 703-208-4800. ACT IAC wants you.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Jan Fry. Jan is the Deputy Secretary for Acquisition and Logistics at the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. And when we were taking a break, Jan, you were telling me about this 1,000 contract situation and the duplication there for some software. Tell us more, please.
Absolutely. We found out at that particular point that we had 1,000 contracts in place for the same thing. There are serious implications, overhead implications, when you put that many contracts in place for the same thing. That's 1,000 contracts to put in place, 1,000 contracts to administer, 1,000 contracts to pay, and 1,000 contracts to program manage, and that is a severe drag, or can be a severe drag, on your overhead cost. And it's one of those costs that that we might not have seen had we not had this unauthorized commitment. We now have methods in place in the VA where we can zero in on those costs, but at that point we didn't.
Right, and that's overhead costs and costs. That costs both government and industry, and the more you can address that contract duplication issue, I think that improves efficiency and ultimately benefits, you know, the folks you serve, the veterans, like, you know, talking about saving money and making sure it goes to the right place, and ultimately the taxpayer as well. Can you talk a little bit more about some of your IT operations and where you're headed with those things, or have headed?
Sure. Let me first tell you that we were also having problems with our contracting mission here in the Washington, D.C. area, where we support our VA central office staff elements primarily. We moved our contracting shop out of the Washington, D.C. area and moved it to Frederick, Maryland. And the primary reason we did that is we thought that we could probably get people to drive against traffic in the morning with a smile on their face. If you've been down or up 270 at the time of the day, it's a giant parking lot. So we did that, and we have a very nice workforce of over 50 personnel up in Frederick, Maryland, in a beautiful facility. And when I got here, our turnover rate was about 66% in the office that we'd stood up to support headquarters, and our turnover rate now is virtually nothing. So
that's a quality of life issue that you've identified there, folks. That commute and that and the ability to you know, be up there. I can understand how that you'd have your retention rates would change. I mean, because I would tell you, it's not just 270 that's a parking lot. Everybody, Washington, D.C. is a big parking lot. So.
Well, we're fast learners, and so we decided to stand up another center south of town. We're currently in the process of standing up a strategic acquisition center in Fredericksburg, Virginia, about the equidistance from town as Frederick, Maryland. And this center will primarily strategic source prosthetics and medical surgical products from VHA. So we're taking a lesson from our technology acquisition center up in New Jersey. We're going to start pulling some of the spend with maybe dozens or hundreds of contracts that are in place out in Veterans Health Administration, and we're going to start doing some strategic sourcing. Now, we're not going to bundle contracts. There's a connotation with that word bundling. We're not going to squeeze small business out at all. As we go through and develop these acquisition strategies, we're going to ensure that we have a spend with small businesses that's equal to our today's spend or increased. And we're doing very, very well, by the way, in our small business socioeconomic goals in the VA. So
I have a question there.
Sure.
Are you working on your acquisition strategy for that center? Are you going to be is your platform going to be your VA schedule contracts and competitions off those? Or are you looking at all kinds of different
That's a great question, Roger. And, yes, we're working on our acquisition strategy now. It's going to be a whole new strategy. And it's a fairly complex strategy, but the basis of these contracts will be our federal supply schedules. But we also have a need to standardize many of our medical surgical products and our prosthetics. So the purpose of this will be to work with commodity managers or program managers who currently don't exist in Veterans Health Administration, but they're standing those program offices up. These commodity managers will be absolute experts on buckets of commodities, surgical commodities perhaps, blood commodities. And as they become experts, not only on their commodities, but on the market, we'll then be able to put blanket purchase agreements in place, competitive BPAs in place, and we'll be able to more easily buy these products, and perhaps in a standardized way. It's not always wise to let physicians buy just what they want to buy. In some cases, it is, if they're physician preference items. But in some cases, we need to standardize these products that we buy out in the field so that we can better leverage the taxpayer dollars. In other words, we would narrow down to a single or several medical surgical items and then buy them by the boatload.
Right.
To leverage taxpayer dollars. We do that now, for instance, with hearing aids at the Denver Acquisition Logistics Center. And just this morning, I met with the VHA program manager, and she reminded me that the hearing aids that I wear would cost me $6,000 if I were to buy them on the open market now. We pay $450 for these hearing aids because we buy
Volume, right?
It's absolutely. Yeah. We buy a bigger volume than anyone else in the United States.
Wow, that's
over $500,000 a year.
Wow, that's the kind of strategic sourcing that I think the government's looking to and as a model for trying to essentially save money and actually compete things and get best value for the taxpayer and for in your case also for the veterans, obviously your key customer. If you want, could we talk a little bit about I attended the National Acquisition Center Industry Conference. Back in March, the NAC, National Acquisition Center, hosted, and you led up that effort. And I have to tell you, it was a very impressive event. It sounded like you had about 600 people there. The thing that struck me is that it was a very open and session where you had an opportunity to engage between government and industry and share concerns and talk about challenges. So I just wondered what you thought of the event and how it went from your perspective.
Sure. That event is an annual event that we hold in Chicago, where we showcase our federal supply schedules. We bring our suppliers in, try and bring them up to speed on any news in that arena. But I'll tell you, that was just one of many things we're doing with our suppliers now. While that was an important event, we are really taking a different tack with our suppliers across the VA. In the past 2 years, the VA has fundamentally changed the way we view our suppliers. Instead of viewing our suppliers as the enemy, which is the way we viewed them when I came on board in this business back in the 80s, or at best stakeholders, we now view our suppliers as customers. After all, if we mistreat our suppliers by not promptly answering their inquiries, or provide them vague solicitations and demand their proposals in an unreasonably short period of time, we're not treating them right. Up until the point that they receive a contract, we're really looking at them as our clients. We become their clients after they receive a contract.
Well, that enhances competition in the long run. Obviously.
Absolutely. Yep. Now, why do we care? Well, competition is one thing, but we're looking to bring on the nation's best and brightest suppliers to properly help us care for the 23 million veteran clients that we serve. And so if we mistreat our suppliers, if we treat them as the enemy, we're probably not going to get the best and the brightest. So one of the things we look at now is a 360-degree customer satisfaction as a key performance indicator for the Office of Acquisition Logistics and Construction. In the past several years, we began to survey our internal customers, and, of course, we're very interested in what they think of us. But starting about a year ago, we began surveying our suppliers as well. We kicked this whole thing off with a supplier relationship transformation conference right here in Washington, D.C. We've had since in 2011 and this year held supplier forums in New Jersey, California, Illinois, Florida, and we have additional forums scheduled in California and Illinois this year in case anybody's interested in attending them. These forums are professionally facilitated. We bring a supplier in that holds the breakout sessions and facilitates them. And why do we do that? We want these suppliers to feel very comfortable. If they want to burn us and tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, we want the good, the bad, and the ugly. So we professionally facilitate them. We break them down into industry segments. And let me tell you, Roger, we've had our ears burned off. We've gotten some great, great information from these sessions.
Well, you know, that's I think that's a great thing to do. I think communication, from my perspective, my career in government, and then not being in the private sector for the last 5 years, I think the key to, you know, the common good and you know, addressing the issues and challenges facing government is in the procurement area, and it is, you know, good, effective communication between government and industry, because we are all in this together. But right now, we have to take a break. When we return, we'll be talking more with Jan Fry, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Acquisition and Logistics, U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. This is Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
What do successful small, medium, and large federal contractors, including two-thirds of the top 100, have in common? Membership in the Coalition for Government Procurement. Successful federal contractors know they get the information edge they need on developing acquisition trends and an effective voice to protect their interests from coalition membership. For nearly 30 years, the coalition's been the trusted voice of industry, working with federal officials to promote common sense procurement. Know what the best know. Join the coalition today to protect and grow your company's business. Contact the Coalition at 202-331-0975 or visit their website at thecgp.org. That's 202-331-0975 or thecgp.org. Don't be left wondering what will happen to your federal business. Contact the Coalition today.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
What if I told you that you could learn a new language the same way you learned your first language? With no tedious translation, no useless memorization, and no boring drills. You'd have every right to be skeptical, especially if you struggled with languages in the past. That's why we want to send you a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone. You'll find out what U.S. diplomats, more than 10,000 schools, and NASA already know. That this is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language, guaranteed. Call now to request your free CD-ROM and try it with our compliments. Learn a language faster than you ever imagined. Call 1-800-600-6612 and we'll rush you the free Rosetta Stone CD-ROM today. Remember, there's no tedious translation, memorization, or drills, and the Rosetta Stone program offers more than 30 different languages. Call for your free Rosetta Stone demo CD-ROM today and see how easy and effective it really is. Call 1-800-600-6612. That's 1-800-600-6612.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
Newsmakers, talk to Jason Miller.
Gwen Costin is GSA's Director of Mobile in the Office of Citizen Services and Innovative Technologies.
Opening up the week of July 15th will be a much broader discussion where we're looking at how do we design that mobile future. We're really looking to have representatives and input from government, from state and local and tribal governments, industry, not-for-profits, academia, and the general public to let us know what they're looking for and how do we move forward.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/ Federal Drive.
For over 40 years, Mantech employees have been solving complex problems for the national security community. Whether they're providing secure satellite communications to the Department of Defense or investigating threats in cyberspace for intelligence agencies, their work is distinguished by high ethical standards and a deep commitment to their customers' success. They've created a culture that encourages individuals to bring innovative ideas and technology to those charged with protecting the homeland. Due to the high demand for Mantech skills and expertise, they have tremendous career opportunities for cleared, highly skilled IT professionals, security experts, intelligence analysts, engineers, and technicians. In 2010, Mantech was selected for Fortune Magazine's 100 Fastest Growing Companies list, named a top 10 best employer for veterans by Military Times Edge Magazine, and for the fourth year in a row was selected as a top 10 military-friendly employer by GI Jobs Magazine. Apply for openings today at mantech.com/careers. That's mantech.com/careers. Mantech is an equal opportunity employer.
Tradition never graduates. So make plans with family and friends to spend fall Saturdays in Annapolis with Navy football. Order your season tickets today. Join us at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium for a game day atmosphere like no other. The best way to ensure tickets to all our games, including Delaware and Air Force, is to become a season ticket holder. Get the best seats now by calling 1-800-US-4-NAVY or by logging on to NavySports.com.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
An airstrike from a military aircraft hit a convoy carrying al-Qaeda-linked militants in southern Somalia last week, and a defense official says foreign fighters were among those killed in an attack carried out by a partner country. Military aircraft struck the militant convoy as they drove along the coastline in the southern port city of Kismayo. Al-Shabaab, which resides there, confirmed the strike but said only two of its militants were killed. U.S. numbers are much higher. I'm J.J. Green.
There's a saying that lightning never strikes the same place twice. Airport operators know that's not the case, which is why they rely on Airink to provide the most advanced lightning warning systems available. It allows personnel to get to safety, then back out on the tarmac in the shortest amount of time to keep you moving. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are talking to Jan Fry, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Acquisition and Logistics at the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. And Jan, when we had to take a break, you were talking about your customer surveys and the key, you know, and communication between government and industry. I know you wanted to pick up on that again, so have at it.
Well, thanks, Roger. Again, we view our relationship with our suppliers as very, very important. And Scott Gould, our deputy secretary, is keeping us laser focused on that. We get it. And one of the things that we've done, besides these supplier perception surveys and webinars that we've held, or supplier perception meetings, I should say, is we decided to send a survey to our vendors. Now, in order to do that, we didn't have the wherewithal, so we enlisted Michigan State University to help us out. And Michigan State University is administering our supplier perception survey. They sent surveys to over 14,000 vendors over 6 months ago. We got the replies back. And with all of this, when we listen to our vendors, if we don't do something about their comments, about their suggestions or their complaints, then none of this is worth a puddle of spit. So that's where we come in. We take the results of these surveys and our supplier perception meetings, and we're developing solutions to the problems that they're illuminating for us. For instance, our suppliers want better communications. Little things like answering the telephone, contracting officers not replying to their inquiries quickly enough. They want better and more timely solicitations. They want increased use of draft RFPs, and we're doing that as I sit here today. They want more pre-proposal conferences, and we've had some dandies. We held some pre-proposal conferences up in New Jersey. In one case, we had 700 suppliers at the conference. It became a fire marshal issue when they crowded into the hotel. So we think these things are really good, but most importantly, we're showing the senior leadership of VA what the results are of these supplier perception surveys. And I can tell you on a 5-point Likert scale, we're coming out about 3.5 or 3.6. So that's not as high as I'd like. But
that's a good foundation. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yes, sir.
So, thinking sort of big picture, I know you've been in your position now, since 2005. Is that correct? I think that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And you've made you've made some significant changes in terms of consolidating IT and, this customer survey and those sort of things. What from your perspective, where you were when you started with the VA and this operation to where it's going and what your vision is, what are you seeing as your key challenges?
Well, first of all, I think our key challenges are some that we've pretty much solved, some that we continue to work on. Professionalization of the acquisition workforce is absolutely one of our key challenges. And I'm talking the big A acquisition workforce here, both the program management side of the house, contracting officers, and contracting officer technical representatives. We've got some significant issues there, and I'll talk more about those in just a minute if we get the opportunity to talk about our VA Acquisition Academy. Socioeconomic goals, we're doing well in those. We have some very sporty socioeconomic goals. Our goal in 2010 was 33.5%. We reached the lofty goal of 37.3%.
Wow. But
most importantly, as you probably know, we have Public Law 109461, which requires us to consider veterans first when we set aside. And I think we've done a marvelous job in that arena. Our goals are very high. The Secretary set a goal of 10% for service-disabled, veteran-owned small businesses. We actually did 20% last year. He set a goal of 12% for veteran-owned small businesses. We did 23%. We spent $3.5 billion alone with veteran-owned small businesses last year. So we're very, very proud of that accomplishment.
And Jan, those are great accomplishments. And I can tell you, I just remember from my experience in government, you can look for higher goals coming at you next year with the great track record you have there.
Well, of course, we laugh about that. No good deed goes unpunished.
That's right.
But I think it's important. We're really focused on our veteran small business population. We think that's a natural extension of our mission, and so I'm very proud of our acquisition workforce and the accomplishments they've made there. I can tell you in a couple of other areas where we're working hard, supply chain optimization and our logistics workforce professionalization. We're probably back in the 80s.
Oh, wow.
With our supply chain and our logistics processes. So we're working hard to fix that. Acquisition savings is a very big area that we're looking at, and we've made some major headway there. For 3 years, we sat around and used our councils, our strategic sourcing councils, as the manner of business. They didn't work. They didn't work because none of the suggestions we had were data-driven. We stopped, paused, and put a spend analysis team in place. We've got a spend analysis team of 22 folks who are able to do quantitative analysis. It's a hypothesis-based process. It's simply this. If we do X, we can save Y. And then I require those analysts to prove their hypothesis with quantitative and qualitative analysis. That is resulting in a number of programs that we've identified, and we brief those programs all the way up to the Deputy Secretary for approval. Those programs have the potential to save us $500 million alone in the coming years. Better business practices, that goes without saying. Improved processes from our IT tools that our contracting folks use. Training and education, again, I'll talk more about the VA Acquisition Academy in a minute. But one of the areas where we have significant room to make improvement is in the program management arena. We're no different than most of the non-DOD agencies. We don't have a strong culture of program management in the VA. And I don't have to tell you, Roger, that can sometimes have a very bad effect on a program.
Yes.
Many times in the VA, I hear contracting officers being told that they're responsible for a program. But you and I both know the program managers are responsible for and drive cost, schedule, and performance and quality. Deputy Secretary Gould and my boss, Glenn Hagstrom, recognize this. And last year, we were authorized to spend over $30 million alone just for PM training. And that was for a boot camp to bring people up to a certain acceptable level. We have a long ways to go, and we're building a program management instruction and certification at our VA Acquisition Academy, which I think is going to go a long ways. So I hope that gives you an idea of some of the things that we're
tackling. That's a lot going on, Jan. And you mentioned two or three times the VA Acquisition Academy. Can you tell the listeners about that and what you're doing there?
Well, several years ago, it became apparent that we needed to do something. As you know, education and training is the foundation of our acquisition workforce. We know that we're not going to get better at this business unless we have properly trained, educated, and certified people, government employees working in this business. Got to the point where we decided to seek some help. I personally went to the Department of Defense and requested some help from them at Defense Acquisition University. But, of course, the house is full there. They've got all they can do to handle that.
Yeah.
So given that, we decided to put together a proposal, which we pitched all the way to the secretary, to open up our own VA Acquisition Academy. It was approved very enthusiastically by then Secretary Peake. And we opened up the VA Acquisition Academy in 2008. This is an academy that we're very, very proud of. It's created primarily to train and certify VA's acquisition team. And that team includes contracting professionals, our 1102 workforce, program and project managers, contracting officer tech representatives, and facility managers, and logistics and supply chain managers. We added both facility managers and the logisticians this year, and we're standing up schools at the VA Acquisition Academy to train them as well. We have our guiding principles, I think, are pretty broad, and we want to make sure this school is done in a practical way. We want to deliver business results. We can customize our training to our customers' needs. We maintain strong stakeholder relationships. We want their feedback into this training to make sure that we wrap that back into improved training. We have industry expertise. We're trying to leverage industry expertise to make sure we're doing the right thing. And, of course, we evaluate and assess our students as we go through.
We definitely need to talk some more about the acquisition workforce and the training. But right now we have to take a break. When we return, we'll be talking more with Jan Frye, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Acquisition and Logistics, U.S. Department of Affairs. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion of the VA Acquisition Workforce and the VA Acquisition Academy. This is Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 AM Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Here's Dr. Doug Fridsma, the Director of the Office of Interoperability and Standards in the Office of the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology on the Federal Executive Forum on Healthcare IT, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology.
I see a future in the government in which we enable the private and public sectors to identify common solutions and create shared solutions, endorsing a set of standards, services, policies that will allow interoperability to occur, and then enforcing compliance so that we can be assured that the security and the trust is maintained.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Navigating today's complex health environment requires far-reaching experience and a full spectrum of capabilities. Government, military, and commercial health payer organizations rely on General Dynamics Information Technology for health services, solutions, and support to tackle their toughest issues. General Dynamics Information Technology, dedicated to providing IT solutions that meet the challenges of a new era in healthcare. For more information, visit gdit.com/health.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it.
If you're in federal IT, there's one area where you really want to do more with less. That's storage. And how do you keep storage from eating up your budget? That's simple. Buy less of it. NetApp storage is flexible and easy to manage. It also requires far less hardware, at least 50% less for virtualized environment. IT efficiency starts with storage efficiency built on NetApp and delivered by NetApp partners like Blue River Information Technology. To get efficient now, visit netapp.com/federal.
My name is Abe Lincoln, and I've been thinking about this cool place that you can go. It's a website that I speak of called USA.gov. It's government information online, and that's mighty fine. USA.gov. Got questions on your log cabin? Housing answers? Yeah, they have them. USA.gov is your official source. It's Social Security info, whatever that is. ID theft prevention tips, because that's your biz. Even changed my address, and I don't mean the Gettysburg. Find government auctions, jobs, apply for student aid. Hey, I wouldn't lie, I'm Honest Abe. It's government made easy for the people. Take it from the dude in the stovepipe hat. USA.gov is where it's at. So don't wait 67 years to check it out. And that, my fellow Americans, is what I'm talking about.
Newsmakers on In Depth with Francis Rose.
John Barry, he's director of the Office of Personnel Management and our first winner of the second annual Causey Awards.
One of the things that I'm so proud about is our incredible team. This award that I'm accepting here, you know, with Mike's great name on it, but it's not fair for me to accept it on my own. I'm here to accept it on a team of incredible people, both career and political, who do a phenomenal job.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are talking to Jan Fry, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Acquisition and Logistics, U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, and we're talking right now. We're talking about the acquisition workforce and the VA Acquisition Academy. And Jan, tell us a little bit about the facility and how many folks have gone through it and where you are. It's been up and running now. Did you say for 2 years?
It's been open since September 2008.
Oh, 3 years. Okay, wow. Just about 3 years.
Okay. Well, thanks, Roger. I want to tell you that this is a world-class facility in my eyes, and everybody that's seen the brick-and-mortar operation are absolutely impressed with it. We opened the academy again in September 2008 in Frederick, Maryland. We've just recently expanded our operation. We now occupy 80,000 square feet, an entire building. We have 16 classrooms. We've got a number of breakout rooms. We've got space for more than 150 employees as well. And part of those 150 employees are the interns that we also have desk for in that building. And we have a very strong intern program in the VA.
I did have one other question actually about the Acquisition Academy, and that is are you now leveraging that? So you mentioned GSA potentially sending some folks to the Wounded Warriors. Are other agencies able to take advantage of using, you know, sending folks and paying for folks to go to the Acquisition Academy, or is it right now, you know, focused on the VA?
Well, we initially focused on the VA. We want to get it right for the VA. We've trained nearly 6,000 students so far in our contracting professional school. We trained over 2,000 program managers in our program management school. We've included over 1,900 COTRs. We've got three cohorts of interns that we've run through the school. Our first cohort of 30 graduated in June of 2010. We plan to increase the size of our intern program. We're going to add an extra cohort this year, so we'll have somewhere around 150 interns. And in answer to your question, yes. There's no secret that we have a shared vision in the VA that we would like to be able to turn this in to an academy of choice, not force anybody to go, but we want to build a mousetrap that will bring people into the VA Acquisition Academy. We want it to be recognized as the premier training facility outside Department of Defense. And as you know, Department of Defense hones in primarily on weapon systems, and
right.
that's their mission.
Right.
We believe that IT, information technology, is our weapon systems, and that's what we are honing in on in our program and project management school. We intend to develop our program of instruction primarily to support program and project management in the IT world, and we think people will be drawn to that once they see what we're doing.
And with regard to that's a great. I really like that analogy that, you know, IT is your weapon, is sort of your weapon systems, and what you're doing in that area. Is your vision also that ultimately, the center you've sent up in New Jersey, the TAC, and your other, you'll be able to support other entities outside of the VA in terms of providing them, you know, acquisition services and that sort of thing. Is that something you're thinking about or contemplating?
No, at this point, Roger, we don't plan to support other government agencies. Again, we wanted to build the infrastructure for the VA. There are other government agencies out there that have GWACs and MACs, and we intend to let those organizations continue to help departments. And a minute ago, I didn't fully answer your question on other government agencies using our VA Acquisition Academy. In fact, they are. We've had Department of Defense, Department of Transportation, GSA,
wow.
Health and Human Services, USDA, Homeland Security, Department of Commerce, and Department of Justice all participate in our classes. And in our program management school, we've had participation by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Naval Sea Systems Command, and Department of Education. So we're getting other government agencies to knock at the door. And again, we're not forcing anybody to do this. We want to build a school that's second to none. And I think once it's recognized what we're doing, people will knock our door down.
Yeah, I think one of the great things about having other agencies participate as well is that it's that sharing of information across the government platform, where you may learn things about what, you know, GSA is doing or Department of Transportation is doing that, you know, could help the VA, and the things that you're doing in terms of training and what and exchange of ideas will help those agencies as well in their acquisition workforce. So I think it's a wonderful thing.
Well, and I would say something about that too. You know, at one point we were criticized for building a brick and mortar facility, but we really believe that electrons are great, but we may have gone too far in the recent past with electronic medium. So we think it's important to bring students in to a brick-and-mortar facility because I recollect my experiences in my training. I got a lot out of the person in front and in back of me and to both sides, not only in the classroom and that interaction with the professors, but sometimes quaffing a beer at night to also learn from people.
Absolutely.
So we really think these personal interactions are very important to the learning process. And while we support electronic learning, we think that there's a balance that we need to strike.
Yeah, I think there's a great value of colleagues and peers getting together and exchanging ideas, or, you know, if you've got a problem, you bounce it off someone else who's in your same field. Absolutely great value added. But now, Jan, we've reached the end of the show. I want to thank you for being on the show. There's lots of great information, and there's a lot going on at the Department of Veteran Affairs, and I know you've got a lot on your plate. So we thank you for being on the show, and thank you for your service as well, sir. This is Roger Waldron, and you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition of Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.